This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. After the indictments of multiple Cincinnati City Council members, local voters will get the chance to weigh in on how members of council could be removed from office if future corruption cases arise. Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman and Councilmember Betsy Sunderman have both introduced charter amendments addressing corruption. And today we launch Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project. We'll be talking with Councilwoman Sunderman just ahead. Right now, we're joined live by Councilman and Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman, who joins us via Zoom. Councilman Smitherman, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, thank you so much, Michael, for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. And just last week, a fourth member of council since the last election indicted. And I'm wondering, what is life like at City Hall right now among the city council? What is the working relationship like? Is there a spirit of distrust or cooperation of wanting to move forward?
Well, definitely a feeling of a desire to restore trust at City Hall. I would say that's a theme. And the appointments of council members, Jan Michelle Kearney and Sunderman and Gooden, have been refreshing. And so they all have been doing Keating. They all have been doing a good job of moving the city forward. So we have a good relationship, and I think we're moving forward. It definitely is very impactful and painful to have four members of council indicted.
These are people that you work with. Now, you might have political disagreements, but you certainly get to know them when you serve so closely for so long. Just what are your general thoughts about what's going on there right now?
Well, Councilmember Young, for specific as an example, faced a serious ailment at the same time my wife faced her ailment. And they shared the same nurse. And Councilmember Young and his beautiful wife, Kathy, came to visit my wife in the last months of her being alive. So these are people that I know well. And, you know, I have been praying for the Young family, but it's a tough time. And, you know, we have to all put the institution ahead of any of our personalities so that we, you know, can move forward. We also were sworn in 3 years plus a few months ago. And one of those important things that we said we would do is protect the charter and obviously protect the institution.
We're talking with Vice Mayor and City Councilman Christopher Smitherman. And one way you're trying to do that is to convince voters to support what is on the ballot as issue one. And this is in response to some of these indictments that have come down due to corruption or alleged corruption. One of the changes that would come about if voters approve issue one, which you've pushed for, is that the city solicitor would appoint a special prosecutor in case a council member is indicted. Explain to our listeners how it works currently and why you believe this change is necessary.
So currently, the city solicitor is charged to really determine whether a member of council should be removed or not. That's untenable in this situation, in my opinion. I mean, what happened last week, where our city solicitor's office has been representing the Gang of Five over the last couple of years, providing them legal advice, privileged advice. And so it doesn't make sense to place, in my opinion, to place the city solicitor's office now in the position to try to make the decision on whether a member of council should be removed after representing that council member, which is their job. And so what would happen here is a neutral party would be appointed to look at the facts and ask the question, should action be taken on that council member's seat? And, you know, that's a very serious allegation, a very serious process, because you know, the citizens of Cincinnati have elected them. So that's the theme of it, is getting the city solicitor out of the process of prosecuting one of their 10 bosses, 9 members of council or the mayor. And I think that's unfair to put the city solicitor in that position.
Is there a particular pool of attorneys from which this special prosecutor might be chosen?
usually what I have seen in the past, and I'm not an officer of the court, but that the city solicitor, we have jurisdictional relationships, you know, Columbus, Dayton, Akron, we do the same for them. And they reach out and say, and in Hamilton County, we're looking for a special prosecutor. And that's typically how it works.
We're talking with Cincinnati Vice Mayor and Councilman Christopher Smitherman about issue one of the charter amendments facing voters in this upcoming primary election in May. Another change that would be implemented should voters adopt issue one and change the city charter is the way a city council member picks how they're replaced. There's a unique circumstance at Cincinnati City Hall where each of you has another member of council who would choose your replacement should you vacate your office early. Do you generally have a problem with that, or did your problems with it arise in the wake of these indictments?
Well, I still don't have a problem with members of council when they're elected identifying in the event that they can't serve, who would appoint somebody to their seat. So, for example, I have Councilmember Jan Michelle Kearney and I have Councilmember Stephen Gooden as the trustees of my seat if I can't serve for any particular reason. The problem arose, you are correct, when members of council were indicted, there were attempts to change their designations or their designees. And I found that to be very troubling that a member of council would come in and attempt to make a legislative action and council not know where or if that elected official is compromised. And so what this would do is place a freeze on that. If a member of council is indicted, they could not then come to council and say, hey, the designees that I've had for 3 years are no longer the direction I'd like to go in. I'd like to go in a different direction, because for me, it made me feel like the possibility that we were creating other conflicts, or that the possibility of other deals might have been cut. And that would be unacceptable, I think, for council to take a vote or digest that while a member of council was indicted.
Okay, so just by way of explanation, then, you have selected Councilwoman Jan Michelle Kearney as your designee. She would choose your successor should you leave office early or if you were to face indictment. However, if you were to be leaving office ahead of the expiration of your term, you would not then be able to choose another member of council to make the decision.
That's correct. And I have two appointees. I have Councilmember Stephen Gooden, who is a Republican, and Councilmember Jan Michelle Kearney, who is a Democrat. And for me, that represents I'm the only elected independent in the county. And so I wanted a designation, if I could, one person from each party to make the decision. And that could be if I die in office. That could be if I decide to leave early. So there are a number of ways that those trustees or those designees could trigger that they would then take action to decide who the next person would be to serve.
Coming up, Vice Mayor Smitherman, we'll be talking with your colleague, Councilwoman Betsy Sunderman, who is also pushing for a charter amendment known as issue number 2 on the ballot, also designed, as she would say, to address corruption at City Hall. One of her areas of focus involves the suspension of a member of council, and we've gotten to know these details quite intimately over the past several months. We currently have two members of council suspended, Jeff Pastor and P.G. Sittenfeld, both under federal indictment on allegations of corruption. She would like to see that change, right? These council members voluntarily were suspended, but should the council itself have a role to play in deciding whether one of its members should be suspended from the body?
The answer is yes. I support Councilmember Sunderman's charter amendment, and it speaks to council's ability to police itself. You know, as the vice mayor of the city of Cincinnati, it has been frustrating that we've had to look outside of the body in order to take action and police ourselves when there's an issue. So the threshold is high. Councilmember Sunderman has 7 votes out of 9. for that suspension, which would have to most likely, not have to, but most likely would include a bipartisan bipartisan vote. So, you know, we typically have one or two Charterites serving on council, one or two Republicans and Democrats, and unusually myself as an independent. But to get to seven, that would show that there was something that a supermajority of council felt the trust of the citizens had been broken and action needed to be taken. So I think it's a good move for council to have a mechanism to police itself instead of having the state auditor or having the Hamilton County prosecutor or some other political entity take action against the council without council itself being able to police itself.
What are you hearing from voters just in general? Because they're going to be considering not only issues one and two that are characterized as anti-corruption amendments to the city charter, also issue three, which is related to affordable housing and how much the city should be spending on that. They're also considering candidates for mayor. Are voters overwhelmed by everything they have to consider, particularly after a challenging presidential election year? Are they frustrated with their city government? Are they eager to cast ballots?
I think they are eager to cast ballots. Now, do I think we're going to get to 20% and 30%? I'm not sure about that. I know back in the Boss Cox period of time, there was a, if I remember historically, it was an 88% turnout. You know, people were very fired up to send a message that they wanted their government to be not only transparent, but free of corruption. I think we're in one of those periods of time where we're going to have an interest not only in the May 4th primary, but the November 2nd general. And I don't think voters are fatigued. I think voters are incredibly educated and they're educating themselves. And they would like to elect 9 members of council and a mayor that are free of any conflicts of interest and free of any corruption. And I think we'll see that in the upcoming election. Typically what happens is issues like safety, police, fire, issues like development tend to take the top point of where voters are thinking top of mind. I think what we're gonna find is corruption will be top of mind in any candidate running for city council or any candidate running for mayor who has had any issues around any level of corruption most likely will be rejected by voters in this upcoming election.
Chris Smitherman is a Cincinnati City Councilman. He's the vice mayor of the city. Councilman, thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thank you, Michael.
More Cincinnati Edition just ahead. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our discussion on the charter amendments on the ballot for city voters in May. I spoke earlier with Councilwoman Betsy Sunderman. Here is our pre-recorded interview. Councilwoman Sunderman, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about issue two. This is something you've been pushing for. What would it do if voters approve it?
So issue two is an anti-corruption charter amendment, and it would give us the ability to suspend or remove council members who are indicted. So it's pretty on point for this year. We just had our fourth indictment of a council member, and there's no internal way to remove a council member. So right now, the only two ways to suspend or remove a council member take weeks or months. One of them is through the attorney general, which requires an attorney general who wants to do it. And luckily we have that right now, but we might not always have that. And then it would take weeks of hearings in front of a panel of judges. The other method is four citizens go to Hamilton County Probate Court and file a complaint to remove a council member. Then it goes in front of the probate judge. Then it goes in front of the city solicitor for a hearing. Then it goes back to the probate judge for a hearing. So as you can imagine, it takes weeks or months. And we would have to depend on four citizens to do that. So I want to create a mechanism for us to be able to act quickly in case we have council members who don't voluntarily agree to a suspension. So right now, Mr. Pastor and Mr. Sittenfeld voluntarily agreed to a suspension, but Mr. Young just got indicted. And if he doesn't agree to a suspension, he'll still be sitting there next to us voting and proposing how to spend all this money, which is a real problem.
You referenced council members Jeff Pastor and P.G. Sittenfeld, both indicted on federal corruption charges and voluntarily suspended from council. And then Councilman Wendell Young was indicted just last week on a felony charge of tampering with records. That's in connection to a previous investigation into text messages involving Young and four other members of council. So you've noted before in some reporting here at WVXU that had council members Pastor and Sittenfeld not voluntarily accepted a suspension from council, that they could technically still be meeting in open session with you all as of now.
And exactly.
What kind of problem would that present, do you think?
I mean, we were just given $290 million by the federal government. We also have to decide how to spend $400 million of our regular city operating budget in the next couple of months. So that's $700 million that we need to divvy up right now. And we can't have people under indictment for unethical behavior deciding where that money goes. How would the citizens trust us?
And so if issue two becomes part of the city charter, then the council itself would have the option of suspending a member of council. So what would that process look like as designed?
That's right. Okay, well, let me break down my charter amendment. So there are three parts to my charter amendment. Part one is mandatory ethics training for all city council members. So right now, it's voluntary to have ethics training, and they only offer it at the beginning of each council term. So I did not get offered that because I wasn't around at the beginning of the council term, and half of council was appointed midterm, so we did not have access to that.
That's right. You were appointed to council following the departure of Amy Murray, and then, of course, we have multiple members of council right now who were not elected to their positions. You've got Steve Gooden in for the indicted Jeff Pastor, Liz Keating replaced Councilman Sittenfeld. Jan-Michelle Kearney has replaced the former Councilwoman Tamaya Denard, who was convicted on a bribery scandal of her own.
Exactly. And I don't think ethics training can fix an unethical person, but it can lay down all the ground rules so that no one can come back later and say, I didn't know my texts were public records, or I didn't know that I couldn't accept bags of cash in exchange for my promise of votes. I mean, it's good to have the ground rules laid out. And some of the rules are a little tricky about open records, about open meetings. These are things that a lot of people haven't dealt with, maybe outside of city council. So we need to have ethics training. So the second part of my charter amendment is the suspension or removal from council. So if a council member gets indicted for a felony involving duties on council, then the other council members can vote on whether that person is suspended. So it would take 7 out of 9 of us to vote to suspend someone. So when I started on council, there were only 7 council members. So that would have been a unanimous vote, right? So the reason we made it 7 is because one of the people is under indictment. So, you know, they shouldn't be included in it. And then what if there are 2 people under indictment? So 7 seems like a reasonable number. So if 7 of us vote for that, the council member is suspended from proposing new legislation or voting on current legislation. They're still a council member. They still get paid. They can still fill people's potholes and get their garbage picked up and public service kind of things. They can still come to their office, but they can't vote on where money goes. And then the next part is if the council member gets convicted of a felony involving their job on council, then they're kicked off of council. And
so that kicks off the successor designee situation. And I just want to remind listeners, we're talking to Cincinnati City Council member Betsy Sunderman. And the way it works now with the members of council, whether they resign from office or they leave office before the end of their term, these individuals, I assume even yourself at this point, you have chosen another member of council who would pick your replacement. Is that right?
Right. Before we get sworn in on council, we have to file a designee form appointing one or more members of council to choose our replacement if we leave.
Okay. And so yeah. What's the change that you're proposing?
So the third part of my charter amendment is that once you're indicted, you cannot change your designee for who picks your replacement. So we had this happen recently when Mr. Pastor got indicted. He tried to come in and change his designee to Mr. Young. And it just doesn't look good for the city. It looks like someone's shopping around for someone who, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it just looks terrible, right? I don't know why he wanted to change to Mr. Young, but now Mr. Young's under indictment. I mean, it's really bad. So we can't have people changing their designee. It looks very unethical, and it looks like they're shopping for people who will pick who they want to pick.
We're talking with Councilwoman Betsy Sunderman about Issue 2, which is a charter amendment that she has pushed for. We spoke earlier, Councilwoman, with Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman, who helped launch Issue 1 onto the ballot, which has some similarities to what you're pushing for, although this one would include a special prosecutor being appointed, for example. Do you support Issue 1 as well?
Absolutely. So I used to be a Hamilton County prosecutor, and a couple times I served as a special prosecutor in other jurisdictions. It's very common whenever there's a conflict on a case, they appoint a special prosecutor. It's not a big deal. It happens all the time. And in our case, it's necessary because our city solicitor is our private attorney. So I've asked the city solicitor numerous times for ethical opinions. And I would hope that some of the indicted council members had asked for different ethical opinions over the years. And that puts the city solicitor in a bit of a jam when he is then asked to rule on the probate complaint. Remember, I told you it goes in front of the probate judge, and then it goes to the city solicitor to determine if it should proceed. The city solicitor would have to make that determination with all of the knowledge of being the private attorney for that person who has probably asked for ethics opinions. So how can the city solicitor decide if Mr. Young should be removed if Mr. Young has poured out all of his secrets to the city solicitor? So we need a special prosecutor. That's definitely necessary.
Let me ask you what it's like working among the city council right now. You're still relatively new, and you have, you know, certain members who have stepped down or at least stepped aside, perhaps temporarily, while they are under investigation. We have a new indictment out just last week. There's a lot of fresh faces. Is there distrust? Is there suspicion? Is there cooperation? What are you seeing right now among the nine members of council?
Right now, it's way better than it was a year ago when I started. When I first started, it was very tense. There was a lot of backstabbing, a lot of lying. And now that a few council members have left, it's very pleasant to go to work. And I'm not quite on edge about who I can trust that much anymore. We have a good group of people who are all respectful to each other. We didn't used to have that. We used to have a lot of fights during council meetings, a lot of personal attacks. I feel like the decorum has gotten a lot better. Hopefully, because of all the indictments, people are just kind of cleaning up their ethics, and maybe those ethical issues aren't happening anymore.
And so what is your hope for the next time a new council takes office? I guess you're running for election this time.
Yes. I mean, we could have an entirely new city council. I think Greg Landsman's the only incumbent running. And then there are a few of us who were appointed, and I think all of us are running, but you could have 9 new council members. Usually it's all of council running for re-election with maybe 1 open seat. But this time, even if all of us run again, there are going to be 4 open seats. We'll get 4 new council members at a minimum, maybe 9 new council members. So I would encourage people to really look into the candidates and not just vote for who they've heard of or who their friend says they should vote for. I mean, really look into people and see if they've been ethical, see if you agree with their beliefs. Just put a little more work in.
And this is a pretty heavy ballot for voters this year. Obviously, city council candidates won't be on the ballot in May. You all wait until November, but there are mayoral considerations in May and these charter issues, and issues 1 and 2 are not the only charters for them to consider. What are you hearing from voters? I mean, is it too much? Are they eager to see some change?
Yeah, I mean, people want to get rid of dirty politicians, and they kind of think we're all dirty politicians, so that makes us all look bad. But I would hope that we can elect 9 ethical council members this next round, and we can put all of this behind us and actually start doing things for the city instead of constantly talking about ethics. I mean, people used to interview me about what's going on in the city, and now I just get interviewed on ethics and who's getting indicted.
That's Councilwoman Betsy Sunderman, who has joined us for this conversation, which is part of WVXU's Trust in Local Government Public Integrity Project. You can learn more about that at WVXU.org. Councilwoman Sunderman, thank you so much for the time you gave us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.